I bring you greetings once more in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, as I welcome you to our broadcast today. It is our desire that God would be honored through the exalting of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that would only be accomplished by the guidance, the leadership, the undergirding of He, the Holy Spirit. Not only do I bring you those greetings, but I bring you also the greetings that are consistent with the holiday, and I do pray that each of you will know a blessed time and that reflection might be brought to your mind, especially upon the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We use that word, and it's important that we do so, because Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. There are many texts that are often preached at this time of the year that look directly to the narrative of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and that's well that it's done, and I rejoice that it would be done at any time of the year. For indeed, the knowledge that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh is the greatest of knowledge, and to understand what was accomplished by Him coming into the world, this covenant salvation that we know, the determination of the Father to save, the determination that the Son would accomplish the will of the Father by taking on Himself the form of sinful flesh, and that likewise He, the Holy Spirit, would make application of those things to the hearts and lives of men, so that God would be glorified, Jesus Christ would be exalted in the midst. And so, as we speak of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I wish you a happy holiday season, and to carry it even forward to think in terms of a blessed and a prosperous new year. But oh, that prosperity might be incorporated in your knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, that we might be able to delight in such a way as to ever be about singing joy to the world, and that indeed Christ Jesus has come into the world. And so we'll direct our thoughts today to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would entitle this message, Joy to the World. And to see therein that joy is the gospel message of salvation as it was proclaimed even at the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going not to go to the narrative, although we'll make reference to it, but I want to go to the Old Testament, to that which was sung in anticipation of this blessed event that is recorded for us in the Gospels, especially in the book of Luke. So I read to you from Psalm 98, and understand that these were often sung, and as a matter of fact, the exhortation is therein to sing. This was the hymn book, the Old Testament. It was also often the hymn book of the Reformers and the Puritans, as we come down and see the direction turned as men would look to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Why? Because they spoke of Christ. They prophesied of Christ. They brought about an anticipation in true believers that Christ was to come into the world and that salvation would be accomplished. So listen very carefully to these words, and as you listen, listen for Jesus therein. So we begin Psalm 98, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. If I might pause there for just a moment, often those references to His right hand or His holy arm is a reference to Christ. And I'm not going to take the time here to make the connections with other scriptures that demonstrate that, but suffice it to say. Verse 2, the Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. And oh, that God would bless the reading of his word to your effectual hearing, that we might understand that this is God's message to us, and that we might receive it as his inspired word, brought about through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the writers of old, and preserved unto this day, that I might read it to you and that you might hear it. And so I ask that God would bless it accordingly. Now, as we look at the birth of Christ and its connection to this psalm, is referenced in the Isaac Watts hymn, Joy to the World. And I'll make this comment that many of those Christmas carols that we sing today, and they are among some of the most beautiful of sacred music, but understand that the men, as they were writing these, were not thinking in terms of coming up with something only to be sung at a holiday. And so Isaac Watts, who penned hundreds and hundreds of hymns, wrote Joy to the World. And in the 1700s, so was the case with hymns such as Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley. And once again, we sing those songs and look at their gospel content. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And of course, that reflected the words of the angels of old. So it is that we bring you these thoughts that we might be moved to greater levels of joy and more energetic praise and worship that would carry with us in all of our believing experience. And so, again, it was not the intent of Isaac Watts to merely write a Christmas carol. It was rather that his and all of his hymns do this. We sing many of them in our hymn books, and that we, and in doing so, we recognize that here were men of gospel intent who believed the sovereignty of God, who embraced the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who sought to exalt him in all of their ways. And so Watts based his hymn on this psalm. And so we're going to look at some important truths therein. It is certainly a great hymn of praise, and we're reminded of such psalms and such statements as, Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. By the way, that word comely, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, praise is comely. And one of the best ways I think that we could put it is that praise looks good on a believer. Praise looks good on one who would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, one who claims to be his. And so the announcement of the shepherds reflect the tone of this psalm in that the message to them spoke of great joy. And the angel said unto them in Luke chapter 2 verse 10, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so this announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ had ramifications that reach from eternity past and into all eternity future, that indeed the accomplishments that were signified by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manger in Bethlehem is beyond our imagination. And it does not stop with the traditional celebrations that we often see this time of the year. I will confess that I have enjoyed the traditions and the things that take place, much of the goodwill. I also lament that quite often men are moved at this time of the year to engage in activities that certainly could not be said to be to the glory of God. And yet this is what we are to understand concerning Jesus Christ. It is not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people, and therefore you should go out and party and do whatever you just feel like makes you is good for you, but rather it is that you would find this joy in the person of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Salvation was personified. And that word, when we use that word personified, it just means quite simply this, that salvation appeared to us as a person. And not just as something that God just set out to do, or even that he just declared, but he made it manifest. And that person is none other than Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so it was with the appearance of Christ on earth and all the hopes of mankind for the realization of all the promises of God were brought to fruition in him. Our new song is the song of redemption. And so when the psalmist begins by saying, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Oh, my. We are thus, it is incumbent upon us that this is what we should be about. We claim to be saved. What do our actions display concerning this? Our new song. And it's that term is often used. I think it's important that we see that not only is it something that is introduced in the way of an eternal freshness in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord, but it is that which manifests a newness of spirit in the heart of all true believers. In other words, we arise each day looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, believing that everything from this time forward is in his hand and he has done all things well. And so we find in the first three verses an exhortation to praise. The psalmist said, sing a new song. Had there not been reason to sing before? Well, there was, because there were promises made. There is no question. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, the hope of salvation is expressly set forth, and always with reference to the Lord's ability to save, to his willingness to save, and to his exclusive right to save. And thus we can be encouraged. We read the gospel in the Old Testament and knowing, and of course the beautiful thing about reading the Old Testament today is that we read those things, those truths, those promises, those hopes that were given to men, and know of the fact that Jesus Christ did come into the world, that he lived a perfect life, that he suffered and died as a substitute for his people, and that he rose again on the third day, and he ever lives to make intercession for us, exalted on high, at the right hand of power. And so it is. We have that declaration, the reasons, marvelous things. And we read in Isaiah 59, verse 16, respecting this, and I mentioned it a while ago, but his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Listen to the lament that is set before the prophet. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Therefore, we see that and understand that even there, the look of God toward the future and toward what would be brought about and how the accomplishment of his will and purpose would come to pass would be through his intercessor, his provided intercessor, his provided sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ the righteous. And so it is that salvation is made known. And it is so important that we understand this. Salvation is made known and not in a plan. I've heard many people say, now I need to explain to you the plan of salvation. And it's all well that we understand that there are experiences that men are brought through. There are things that are done. There is the eternal decree from before the foundation of the world. There is the eternal commitment in that Christ Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And there is those sovereign, mysterious operations of He, the Holy Spirit. And those things are brought about. Men must be brought to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And these things are spiritual and fully dependent upon the mercy of God to bring about that enablement. And this the Spirit does. We don't understand it. Jesus told Nicodemus, you won't understand it, but except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So salvation is not just in a plan. Unfortunately, many have devised what I call recipes for salvation. In other words, if you do this, you do that, you add in this, and so on and so forth, then we'll declare you to be saved. And this they do. And many have been deceived into believing that. But the fact is that salvation is not in a plan, but in a person. And that was the same person who appeared in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That was the same one that was manifested and that the angels made the declaration, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What a precious thought that is. What a delight it is to contemplate that as we look, that we're not merely expressing maudlin sentiment or some cliche words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we are literally acknowledging His person, that He, God, came in the flesh. God the Son, manifest in the flesh. And so it was that the old man, and Luke records this after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the time was fulfilled that they needed to come to the temple, so they bring the baby there, and the baby Jesus. And there they find an old man by the name of Simeon. And Simeon is one who had long expected, who believed the promise of God. And when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Do we hear it? Do we hear it? Simeon didn't say, now I see the method. Now I know of what I've got to do. No, he said, I have seen him. I have seen thy salvation. And he beheld him in the person of Jesus Christ the Lord. And so his righteousness revealed. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. And thus with Jesus Christ coming into the Lord, and many there were that witnessed this life, and some perhaps even from his birth right unto his death, and he did so in their presence. And what many were beholding and did not know, did not realize, would not acknowledge that this was the very righteousness of God. This was that which we must be. This is the standard to which we are held in. We're not held to a human standard. We're not to look to a manufactured norm. We are rather called upon to look to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he did this by living that perfect life, and he did so in the presence of many who summarily rejected him, who would have none of that which he had promised, that which he had set forth. And so it was not in the declaration of a system, but the incarnation of Christ our Lord. Thus the promised mercy is remembered. The goodness of God had been witnessed. They spurned it. They didn't want anything to do with it. But all the ends of the earth see the ultimate manifestation in Christ our Lord. Oh my, how that name is hated in so many places. Why? Because it manifests God. It is the true God. It is the only God. It is the triune God. It is the God in the Trinity of his persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so many will kill one who acknowledges that name. And oh, we see it, we hear of it today. And yet it seems that our government and the governments of the world, and perhaps many professing Christians, are hardened to the fact that these things are taking place. And or rather, we hear it today, oh no, we have to be tolerant, and we have to be accepting, and we have to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody. It's okay that true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are offended every time that name is maligned, because what they heard was joy to the world. They heard of the world's salvation. And they know that in spite of all that is done, all that is attempted to undo that. And so it is that we are moved upon, and it is incumbent upon us. It is directed to us from the Word of God, and listen to him. In verse 4, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise and rejoice and sing praise. You say, well, preacher, all the earth is not doing it right now. Make no mistake, they will. It will come to pass that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. And that will be to the glory of God the Father. And so the cry is unto all the earth, and it includes a loud noise. In other words, we're to be forceful about it. Men will quietly whisper, almost as if they're afraid to be heard, yes, I am a Christian. But I would love to hear them shouting from the housetops, Jesus Christ is Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none of the name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so he is worthy of so much more. Our praise, often half-hearted, but it should be energetic. It should be with zeal. It should be with those thoughts of to whom it is directed and of the worthiness of our God. It is to be done with rejoicing. I will say this without apology. The greatest joys that I know, and I'm not always experiencing those, but the greatest joys I know is that of understanding that salvation is come. It is assured of being brought to fruition, and therefore it is with joy at his person, at his beauty, at his majesty, and at the experience of being loved by him. And thus we sing praise, and we need to be specific. You know, when I say that, it's easy for us to just kind of join in. But oh my, can you sing and direct your words to him? Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Oh, that I might receive my King. And so, after all, he is the Lord. He is the King. There is none other. And so, with whatever means, and especially the voice, after all, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the King. Joy to the Lord. to the world. I'm sorry. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Do you hear what Watts is saying in the hymn? Do you hear what the Word of God is saying? And so it is that he was incarnate, and so he is brought to existence, and we are brought into vision, brought into view. And so it is that we rejoice at the ultimate fulfillment of all that was promised then, and the reconciliation of all things unto God by him. And thus we read, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Oh, the refrain there, verses 7 through 9, with trumpets, let the sea roar, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. You hear that? The whole earth is going to praise him. It'll all be brought into submission. We're often in awe of the wonders of nature. Do we suspect that the movings and the shakings are the praise of creation? Might we as men sing in harmony with heaven and nature? The floods clap and the hills are to be joyful together. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Again, the words continue, and we understand, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Oh, this whole creation will join in that praise. And thus we shall understand, and I'm not going to try to delve into this. I'm not going to try to attribute life to inanimate objects, but I do know this. They reflect the hand of their Creator mightily upon them. And so we sing before the Lord, for he's coming to judge. He has come to judge the earth. It is with righteousness that the earth is judged, and that by this man, and his kingdom shall be a reign of uprightness, and praise shall be the order of the day. Should we not be ever praising him with the most joyful noise? Joy to the world. Indeed, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. My friend, yeah, it is the season, and often 'tis the season to be jolly, but I would direct your attention to the person of that one came into this world as a man, suffered and died in the stead of sinners, but now he reigns. And it is joy to the world that salvation is accomplished. And to everyone that believes, it comes to be manifested. And so I exhort you, fall upon his mercy just now. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwb.org. We at the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We are grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer. Thy sunshine's blaze its day, may brighter ever be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. Glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that
shall live.